There's 2 weeks to complete the Christmas shopping. Thank you. To remember the long-distant relatives, to have the anxious await for Amazon parcels to arrive, to search out for the last year's Christmas decorations, to discover that the Christmas tree lights don't work, and more. So this phrase, "and give you his peace," is very timely. So what does peace mean? What is the image that springs to mind when we hear that word? For some, it might be a beautiful sunset, might be calm, still waters with the sun glinting down upon them. It might be a code word for the avoidance of confrontation. But the biblical definition of peace is much more robust than simply the absence of stress and noise. The word that's used here is that wonderful word shalom, which its basic meaning is wholeness, completeness. It's the restoration of all that God intended when he first created us. Joy, value, belonging, forgiveness, wholeness. Let me look just briefly with you at the familiar story of Gideon, who received in the midst of battle a revelation of God is peace. And he built an altar with that inscription. The Israelites have been under attack from the Midianites. Their crops have been destroyed. Their livestock have been killed. And they're cowering in terror. None more so than Gideon, who is threshing wheat and in a small wine press. Now, as any good farmer here knows, to thresh wheat, you need to be in an open space with a strong breeze. However, Gideon is in a dark hole underground, clearly terrified. And it's in this context that the angel of the Lord comes to him and greets him as mighty warrior. And Gideon is not impressed. And his reply basically is to say, clearly I am not a mighty warrior, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And you are certainly not a mighty God, otherwise we would not be in this mess. And I guess that those are thoughts that we ourselves have had from time to time. God, if you were powerful, if you were loving, wouldn't things look a bit different? But you know, God doesn't seek to comfort Gideon at this moment. He simply reveals to Gideon his identity. You're a mighty warrior because I am with you. You see, Gideon had defined his worth and value from his circumstances and surroundings. But God was saying, you're mighty because I'm with you. And out of that restoration of identity, Gideon went on to win an amazing victory. And as a result, he built this altar with the inscription, God is peace. And so Jehovah Shalom reminds us that God's peace is the gift of his presence in the midst of struggle. Now, some of you know that John and I were recently in Pakistan. We were staying at a theological college in Lahore, and one morning we were asked if we would go and pray for members of the choir. So we went to the chapel. John prayed for the men. I prayed for the women. And this lady came towards me for prayer, and I was just quietly asking God what I should pray for her. And this image came to my mind of this lady sitting in the dust and Jesus sitting in the dust with her. And I said to her that I had this image and that I sensed that she was somebody who loved being in the presence of Jesus and that God loved being in her presence, something to that effect. And she looked very confused and she said, "Do you know me?" And I said, "No, we've never met before." And then she told me her story, that 2 years previously she'd been in Peshawar in church where a massive bomb had gone off, killing 120 plus people and injuring hundreds. And in that bomb, her small baby was killed. And she said for 4 hours, she sat in the dust, holding on to her badly damaged leg. And she said in that those 4 hours, she was just so aware of the presence of God's peace with her. Now that meant that she still had to go through all the grief of losing her baby, the pain of her injured leg. But nevertheless, that sense of the presence of God with her at that time was so strong that she said to her husband, who was actually not with her, but was equally traumatized, "We have encountered something so special. I believe God is calling us to be pastors, to go and tell this wonderful message of God's peace to so many people who don't know it." You know, God's peace is a reality in the midst of struggle. So how do we receive this wonderful gift? Well, firstly, it is just that. It is a gift to be received. The first words that the disciples heard when they encountered the risen Jesus was, "Peace be with you." Do you remember the disciples had witnessed the death of Jesus? They were running scared because of their association with him. They were huddled together in an upstairs room. And I imagine there was a whole host of emotions, fear, doubt, bewilderment, grief. And Jesus comes to them and directly addresses those emotions. And he says, "Peace be unto you." And I imagine that when he spoke, there was great tenderness, but equally great power. Because when Jesus speaks, his words have great power. It was an impartation of peace, which not only addressed their fearful thoughts, but filled them with hope of his presence. The culture that we live in speaks a lot about finding inner calm, searching for the peace within. This is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus was giving his disciples a gift, the peace of God, which he says passes all understanding, just as Mark described. He says, "I'm giving you my own peace." It's quite different from what the world can give. Now, I'm speaking to you as someone who knows what it is to be fearful. I think in part this was because I grew up in Nigeria, where my parents were working, and at the age of 5, I went to boarding school. And as a result of that, I think I often had a fear that I would lose the people that I was close to. So if family members arrived late, I immediately went down the route of the worst possible scenario instead of the most likely, which was that they hadn't left on time. But my fears were also increased when one night, when I was heavily pregnant with Tim, our eldest child, and I awoke at about 3 a.m. to hear the bedroom door click open. And I thought, I didn't hear John go out. And I reached across to John, where he was fast asleep beside me. And at the end of the bed, there was an intruder standing. So I shouted to John to wake up. And he manfully chased the intruder down the stairs, all in pitch black. But the burglar had come in through a window, and he nimbly leapt back out of the window. A lot of stuff that he'd intended to take with him was stored up outside the window, and he fled. And of course, we called the police, and nothing more happened. But for nights and nights after that, I would lay awake in bed, sometimes with my heart pounding and straining to listen to every noise. And that went on for weeks. And I can remember one night I was on my own. John was away, so just Tim as a baby and myself. And again, I was lying awake, listening for noises. And I began to think, I can't go on like this. This is ridiculous. I can either allow my imagination to rule my heart, or I can receive the gift of God's peace. And I just heard in my mind those words of Jesus, "My peace I give unto you." And so I remember just saying quietly over and over again, Jesus, I receive your peace. It wasn't instant, but after a while, the peace of God enveloped my heart and I was able to sleep. So the peace of God is a gift, just as Jesus promises. But I think also it is important that we practice peace. It is a gift, but we have to be intentional about receiving it as a regular practice, which therefore begins to affect our thinking. There's a verse in Proverbs that I think is very important, which says, guard your heart, it's the wellspring of life. One version says, put everything you have into the care of your heart. It's in our hearts that our beliefs and emotions are stored, and these affect our thinking and therefore our imagination. But it's also in our hearts that we can plant truths that will keep us steady when the storms and struggles of life come. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 62. Two things I know. You, O God, are strong, and you, O God, are loving. And I think just holding on to those thoughts, those two truths, can quieten our hearts. This time of year, we think of the beautiful story of Mary being told that she would give birth to a child. The tabloid papers could hardly have thought up anything more sensational. An angel appears to a young girl, tells her she'll become miraculously pregnant, and that the child she bears will be the Son of God. And in that brief recorded encounter, Mary only makes two replies. One is to say, how can this be? Which I think was a perfectly reasonable response. And the second was to say the remarkable reply, yes, I am willing. Her whole life was going to be turned upside down. She was going to be misunderstood. She was going to know great pain. How was it that her response was so willing and so filled with peace? And I think the clue is to be found in the song that she sang that we call the Magnificat, the outpouring of praise, which show how much she had stored of God's truth in her heart. She says this, God has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. In other words, I'm just an ordinary woman. There's nothing special about me. And she goes on to say, but from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Why? Because the mighty one has done great things. Like Gideon before her, she knew that her confidence and security lay in the fact that God was with her. And you know, for me, as I've had to learn to address my fears and to learn to live in God's peace, it's been important to regularly meditate on God's truth. Now, meditate, I know, is a bit of a scary word, but someone has said, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And as one of those worriers, I know what it does. A thought goes round and round in your head, making things worse and out of perspective. The truth of God, when we meditate it, is stored in our heart and brings peace and hope and confidence and security. And I have found that regularly, just spending time sitting in the presence of God, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever we can do, just sitting quietly and just saying a little phrase over and over again. It may be, Lord God, you are strong and loving. It may be, the Lord's my shepherd. It may just be the name Emmanuel, God with us. And just to say that slowly a few times and then allow the stillness of God's presence to come. Things that will happen, well, inevitably there'll be many distractions. Sometimes it'll feel it's a waste of time. Other times there'll be the grace of just sensing God's love and his peace with us. But every time we sit quietly in the presence of God, there is an impartation of his love and his power and his peace, and our hearts are changed. And I cannot think of a better gift to receive this Christmas than the peace of God, the shalom, that well-being that in the midst of struggle, the midst of disappointment, the midst of uncertainty, the peace of God, that gift which we're given as a gift to receive, that we practice as we meditate on God's wonderful truth, will keep our hearts in the knowledge and love of God. And so this wonderful blessing that we've been looking at is ultimately a blessing of shalom, wholeness, well-being, and is perfectly fulfilled in Emmanuel, God with us. May God bless us all with this wonderful gift of peace in the midst of the joys and the stresses of this season. God's peace is his gift to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.